We know the way through this pandemic is by getting everyone vaccinated. Small fringe minority following the science.
And all we hear is these horns going all night long.
Yet protesters are demanding to be heard.
Driving us crazy.
The sound is deafening. All day long and at all hours of the night.
I haven't slept in 3 days.
We know the way through this pandemic.
Then it stops when the government lifts the mandates.
When you want to change something in history, there's always going to be some uncomfortableness involved in that.
The honking will continue!
Less than 10 minutes to go, okay?
Kill, kill, kill the mockingbird.
Слушам само море, как сияли зори, как со скупа би.
Well, I say your fight, I say your next.
Yo, what is up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Kill the Mockingbirds. I'm your host, Sean Chris. And, you know, this is where we break down the news and decipher what they say and bring truth to light with different kinds of, with our own perspective, a little wild at times. I started off with that little compilation that I got from, I think I got that from No Agenda. That was at one of their end compilations. I thought it fit well with kind of what's going on with all the trucker movement. And I got a few clips to start off with the trucker movement. I got David Ferrarit from, I think he has a YouTube channel, Viva Frey. I got a little clip from him, and he's kind of like saying what he predicts the future. And it's, you can already see that it's going to happen. This is what he thinks is going to happen. And obviously, it already has started to happen.
My prediction is that the mandates will be slowly dropped province by province. But what they're going to do, they're going to pressure their political appointee medical experts to recommend. You know, it's going to be the wink of an eye. Recommend it so that when we do it, it's not because we're listening to the truckers. It's because we're listening to the science.
Yeah, and that's already evident. Like, what's it called? Leanne Wen in America, they've done that. They've dropped some of the mandates in some of the provinces in Canada. But they're also going kind of strong over there. And there's also been copycat protests, one in Paris. I think there was one in a couple in Spain. And here's a little clip that... they're talking about the protests, and a lot of the news that you do hear them talking about the protests, they're kind of more talking down on it. They keep calling it, if you see the keywords that they're using, the so-called freedom protest or freedom convoy, they're really trying to like box people into that whole right wing crazy domestic terrorists. But yeah, they've been going strong, and here's what's going on in France.
Canada's horn-hawking protesters have led to copycat demonstrations in France. Today in Paris, police fired tear gas against people who defied orders to leave and told them to stop disrupting traffic near the Arc de Triomphe. Some 500 vehicles were stopped at checkpoints trying to enter the French capital.
So yeah, it has sparked off stuff. That's always good about grassroots movements, is that the grassroots movement can get people to go do things maybe they not normally would and spark off something. Because usually you have to see someone do something, you know, like it's with everybody. I think everybody's always trying to do something to get things moving. And once you see one person do it, then you're like, oh man, now you feel comfortable and more people feel comfortable and they don't feel alone. So that's been awesome. But also, we've seen that Trudeau, he was said on Sunday that he's going to crack down on Canadian truckers' bank accounts. And they've gone after the Give, Send, Go. I think that's a Christian-based, like kind of like a GoFundMe. Trudeau on Sunday vowed to freeze bank accounts of truckers protesting his COVID-19 vaccine mandates while the movement's fundraising website remained down via Newsweek. So I got that from Newsweek, and they were just talking about, I thought that was kind of horrible. Like, I think that's way past the government reach. Like, that government reach is pretty bad. And then they were talking yesterday about how he's going to invoke the Emergency Powers Act to end the protests. And here's a longer clip. It's about 2 minutes, but I left it in because they sprinkled in a little of what Trudeau says. And you could see the verbiage that a lot of the mainstream medias are talking. Like I said, that so-called freedom convoy is something they're really trying to spread on, because you say a lie long enough, you know, people start to believe it.
The Emergencies Act will be used to strengthen and support law enforcement agencies at all levels across the country.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Monday invoked extraordinary emergency powers in an effort to end protests that have blocked border crossings and paralyzed the country's capital of Ottawa.
Here in our capital city, families and small businesses have been enduring illegal obstruction of their neighborhoods, occupying streets, harassing people, breaking the law. This is not a peaceful protest.
The Emergencies Act has only been used once in peacetime by Trudeau's father, former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, who invoked an earlier version of the act in 1970. It allows the federal government to override the provinces and authorize special temporary measures to ensure security during national emergencies.
This is about keeping Canadians safe, protecting people's jobs, and restoring confidence in our institutions.
Trudeau's action comes as the so-called Freedom Convoy protests, started by Canadian truck drivers opposing a COVID-19 vaccine mandate, have turned into a rallying point for people opposing the policies of Trudeau's government, covering everything from pandemic restrictions to a carbon tax. Protests in Ottawa have entered their third week, while a six-day blockade on a bridge connecting Windsor, Ontario to Detroit, Michigan, choking the supply chain for U.S. carmakers, was finally cleared over the weekend. Protesters have also shut down smaller border crossings in Alberta, Manitoba, and British Columbia. Still, four provincial premiers said they opposed Trudeau's plan to invoke the act, calling it unnecessary, with Quebec's premier adding, quote, "Now is not the time to throw oil on the fire." The Canadian Parliament would have to approve the use of the emergency measures within 7 days, and it also has the power to revoke them.
You could see that's desperation. And just remember that I think it was not too long ago when Klaus Schwab was talking about the young global leaders, and one of the global leaders he was raving about was Justin Trudeau, and how they had his whole cabinet believed in the same values of the World Economic Forum. So that is the actions they're taking, but they're very desperate right now. And I think man, hold strong with all the truckers. It's been pretty cool, like, that they've been keep moving. It's something that's a positive energy. I think it's moved a lot of people to have to change their mind. And even in other countries, because, like, especially in the United States, because that's our neighbor. And I think a lot of you seeing a lot of these cities are getting rid of these mandates because of the fear of what could happen there. And they don't want it to get shut down. And that's all that they needed to see. And hopefully this gets resolved. I believe it will, because I think that to me, it's like a bluff. I think it's Trudeau trying to save face and look like he's doing something. And then probably they have 7 days to either reverse it or implement it. And I would be a betting man that they will reverse it. If they implement it, I think that there's too much people right now that are too angry, and it would just get worse. So they don't really have many options, but I think they're just trying to reverse and play that little pivot role and try to go, oh, you know what, the science kind of changed. And they've been slowly doing that, but not fast enough, especially in Canada. It seems like Canada went full force and tried to go Australia on us, but they weren't able to yet. I'm in Michigan, actually. I'm following a little bit of what was going on in the border, but I haven't seen it really affect a lot of what we've got. So everything has pretty much been the same, flowing as far as product and what's coming in. But I mean, that's just like 25% of what Canada gets to us in the U.S. The other big story that everybody's been talking about is the whole Russia. Are they going into Ukraine? And a lot of people were seeing reports that they were going to go in, I think, on the 16th, which I think is today, right? No, today's the 15th. Tomorrow's the 16th. My bad. But I think that was no way that could ever happen, because Putin's good friends with Xi Jinping, and right now the Olympics are going on. Do you think that they're going to try to do something to make it look bad? Everybody's prestige of the Olympics and the closing ceremonies, no way that Putin would do anything to jeopardize that. But there was this big, where Biden supposedly had a big conversation with them on a phone and told him, you know, what was what.
And we begin with that breaking news. President Biden warning Vladimir Putin a Russian invasion of Ukraine would bring swift and severe costs. U.S. officials saying a full-scale Russian attack could come within days. The president speaking by phone to Putin for a little over an hour this morning. The call coming as Russian forces conduct live fire exercises in nearby Belarus and massive naval drills in the Black Sea. More than 30 warships now there. A Russian sub spotted on its way from Turkey. U.S. officials ordering nearly all the remaining embassy staff in Ukraine to leave now as the threat of an invasion looms. U.S. troops on the ground now in Romania supporting NATO forces. More than 3,000 members of the 82nd Airborne arriving soon in the region. Now, despite the urgent warnings tonight, Russia denying it intends to invade.
And you can see, like, all the channels, especially Fox News, have been ramping up this whole war and, you know, the war machine's back. Like, it almost reminds me of a lot of the stuff that was going on during Iraq and all that. Everybody's ramping it up and they're talking about how dangerous Russia is. And there's this other report that came from Politico, Ukrainian Ministry of Defense websites hit by cyber attack. The Ukraine Ministry of Defense said in tweets Tuesday that the website were that their websites were down and that it was likely being targeted by a distributed denial of service or DDoS attack. A separate Ukrainian agency, the Center of Strategic Communication and Information Security, said the website of the Armed Force of Ukraine had also been attacked. And kind of eerily similar to what Klaus Schwab was talking about, and I think where they're kind of hinting at that. That's what we kind of do, is trying to pick apart what was going on in the news that's kind of giving us little breadcrumbs, right? They give us the information because I don't know what it is, if they need our acceptance or what it is, or probably they need our compliance, because there's way more people than elites, you know, regular working class people than elites. And with the whole Ukrainian thing, I think that's just chipping away, like we got last year with some of the supply chains being affected, that whole cyber pandemic that Klaus Schwab was talking about. I think that is definitely something that that they would like to see happen and try to make it a reality. And we're going to see a lot more stories about that. And all it is about is over and over is
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Don't worry.
Russia. Russia? Russia?
Be happy.
Oh, come on. Once again.
I believe that one of the Russian ambassadors of Sweden, I think that's where he was, he came out and said, he said, who gives a fuck about your sanctions? We're not worried about your sanctions, because when they've had a bunch of sanctions on them and all it has forced them to do is just like make their own products like that. Instead of getting imported cheese from France, they just make the cheese themselves. So it's only boosted their economy. So they're not really worried too much about all that. And I really think it's just a bunch of smoke. And well, it looks like we're trying to push for war. I don't know if it's going to actually happen, obviously, but it looks like we are the aggressor and trying to make it happen. And we want more control in that region. Let me spin back quick with we got the Pfizer CEO. I have this little clip of where he's talking. They were talking about the Omicron variant and a vaccine that they're trying to develop. And the reason this clip is interesting is because he calls it a pseudo virus that they used to make this vaccine. And I'm like, with all the time that's been around, why don't they have a cultured virus sample that they can use to make a vaccine out of? But instead, they're using a pseudo virus.
What information are you expecting to get over the next couple weeks, both from within, you know, Pfizer and BioNTech, and also from around the world? We saw the South Africa data last night. We know that academic labs everywhere are working on this. How will you make that decision about whether those three doses are enough, or if you do need to switch to that Omicron specific vaccine, which we understand you started working on already and could have by March?
Yeah, the data that we received are data that we got from what we call pseudovirus. So it's not the real virus. It is a virus that we have constructed in our labs, and it is identical with the Omicron virus. This is a very well-known study.
So, yeah, I just thought that was kind of like interesting of the how much time we've had and they're not actually using a sample of the virus. Instead, they're using a pseudo man-made virus. So that's going to be interesting. And Billy Boy's back in the little headlines. I found a little clip. He's promoting his new book.
We're not as close to the end of this pandemic as we would like, but we have learned a lot about how to stop this from happening again. That's why I'm excited to announce my new book, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. In the book, I explain what we've learned from COVID. Why didn't we have vaccines more quickly? Why is it hard to make billions of vaccines? Why did therapeutics take so long? I'll propose the specific plan laid out in a pretty clear way. The plan is three elements. First is to constantly improve health systems, including in developing countries. The second is to build a global pathogen surveillance capacity that no matter which country it shows up in, we can apply resources and understand what's going on very quickly. And finally, the innovation across the three different categories, diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines, that will get us far better tools far, far quicker than we did this time. That will make it possible to make disastrous pandemics a thing of the past. I think it's exciting that we have this opportunity to use our best ideas to stop pandemics for good.
Good try, scumbag.
I'm sure that would be a great book, but I wonder if it's similar to Lying with Statistics. But the main beef and potatoes that I got a little, I was listening to the Corbett Report, and I also was listening to Last Vagabond and a couple other ones, and they helped me hear a couple stories, and then I put a couple more stories together in other clips of this whole like HIV coming back into the news circle. You're hearing a lot more about it, and not just curing, but like, so I got an article from CNN, which is, it's on a bunch of other sites as well, from August 7th, 2013. A baby with the virus that causes AIDS was given high doses of three antiviral drugs within 30 hours of birth. Doctors knew the mother was HIV positive and administered the drugs in hopes of controlling the virus. So this toddler in 2013, researchers were saying they cured her of HIV. And then, you know, it started, kind of went away. There was a few more studies. Then I think this was in like 2018, 2019. It said a third HIV patient now appears to have been cured of AIDS, but it's complicated. A little bit. This one's from Forbes. Here's a little excerpt. This at the end, you could kind of see some of the stuff that they're talking about now. For just the second time, a patient with AIDS appears to have been cured of the disease after receiving a stem cell transplant from a donor with a genetic mutation that proves resistant to HIV, which causes AIDS. But the mutation is exceedingly rare, raising controversial questions of whether it may be replicant use gene editing tools like CRISP and Cas9. So the CRISPR, that's what a lot of people were talking about, like changing, you know, our DNA. And as we're getting poorer, so this was right before, you know, the whole outbreak at the end of 2019. And then you just seen it climbing more. Like there was Magic Johnson was a little bit more. They were actually asking him how it was with him having AIDS and HIV. How did he get through that? And what was his whole thing? And this was recently. And something that is odd, and if they're talking about something, there's a reason, right? They're pushing it into the news for a reason. And here's one from October 20th, 2020. Some COVID-19 vaccines could increase risk of HIV, researchers warn. A modified virus being used in four COVID-19 vaccine considered called antivirus, I'll probably butcher that, but I'll have that in the show notes, has been shown to increase transmission of the AIDS virus in the past. The research wrote in cautionary tale published in the Lancet Medical Journal Monday, that the virus, a group of common viruses which can cause a range of illnesses, including the common cold, are sometimes genetically engineered and used to create inclinations, but the AD5 strain used a potential HIV vaccination a decade ago was found to make some men more vulnerable to HIV in placebo-controlled trials. So you could, this was from the Science magazine, and you could go check out the research paper. I have it right here. There's one from the New England Journal of Medicine. That one, but I forgot that. But anyways, Luc Montagnier, probably butchering that name as well. What's it called? He was one of the people that helped discover it. Said during the COVID-19 pandemic, Professor Luc promoted the conspiracy theory in SARS-CoV that cautionary virus was deliberately created and escaped from a laboratory. He also claimed that with the vaccine, he saw like parts of HIV and AIDS similar like with the spike protein. He said that including with the vaccine that they were creating, that there was HIV on the spike protein. So to me, that like is that something that's going out a little bit more? That why are they talking about it so much? And I think they just had a research paper. That's what I'm trying to find. I had my notes right here. So here we go. From the New England Journal, researchers have found that autoimmune response to the coronavirus spike protein may last indefinitely. AB2 antibodies binding to the original receptors on the normal cells therefore have the potential to mediate profound effects on the cell that could result in pathological changes. Particles in the long term, long after the original itself has disappeared. These antibodies produced against the coronavirus spike protein could be responsible for the current unprecedented wave of myocarditis and neurological illnesses and even more problems in the future. America Frontline Doctors Chief Science Officer, former Pfizer Vice President Michael Yeldon responds, in most countries now, high fractions of the population have been vaccinated. If the Swedish study is a guide, we should anticipate seeing this immune erosion more widely. The most concerning aspect of the study is that those most in need of the protection are those in whom the immune is most marked in, the elderly males and those with comorbidities. So he's kind of really talking about like how this is going to the spike protein, which is going to deliver it to you, has like these whole HIV variants and these the same characteristics of HIV. Again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not probably breaking it down. That's why I'm going to have all of that in the show notes so everybody could look at it and maybe you guys could come up with more things. But then to bring it even more, another newer article, researchers discover HIV variant that's more contagious and more severe circulating in the Netherlands, a highly aggressive and contagious variant of the human immunodeficiency virus has been silently spreading in the Netherlands for decades, and researchers have finally identified it. Researchers have identified a variant of HIV that progresses to AIDS twice as quickly as past versions. People infected with the VB variant also have higher viral loads, making them more likely to transmit to others. Existing treatments for HIV still work against the newfound variant. And that I found off Yahoo, but I found it in a couple others. And that is what's so interesting, is that if you're noticing that this pattern, so they brought it out, they're talking a lot about how they're curing it, and they were talking about CRISPR and how that would be positive. And then, is there going to be some kind of event 202? Is there going to be some event that is now saying that HIV has mutated and become more transmissible? It's something that I thought is great. Like, I don't know. To me, it stood out. And hearing a couple of the reports that I heard, like I said, Corbett Report. If you guys got to definitely check out Corbett Report and Last Vagabond, they were really like kind of touching on these subjects of this is how things get into the people's psyche, right? They're more pushing it onto us. And then now when something crazy happens in a mutation, and now they've been able to see kind of, you know, basically what happens with the virus, with the COVID-19 virus, they're able to see mutations and variants. And now they're going to be more able to believe the lies that are fed to them when they're saying, hey, you got to be careful. There's these new HIV variants. There's these new HIV that, you know, maybe it spreads different now. Maybe now it's airborne. And even more worrisome, like this is even more recent. I think this was last month. This is from a like local Missouri paper. I think it's Columbia, Missouri. Free at-home HIV tests available to the public. Free at-home HIV tests are being offered by Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Service Departments for those 17 and older. The tests are being promoted ahead of National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day on Sunday, but are offered year-round. So this push to keep it in the news and keep it in the people's psyches is something that even Prince Harry is getting into. There's reports of Prince Harry gets tested for HIV to protect others. He's away for COVID. This is a quote from him. He says, every single one of us has a duty or at least an opportunity to get tested ourselves to make it easier for everybody else to get tested. Noting there had been a drop in HIV testing during COVID, he added that with people regularly testing for coronavirus, it should be ingrained in us that what we need to do to know our status in order to be able to keep others safe. So ingrained, he wants it to be ingrained. This is an elitist telling us that we want it to be ingrained into our psyche, that it's most important. Doesn't it sound the same thing as like, hey, we're all in this together. Hey, you get vaccinated, that makes my vaccination more, powerful. It doesn't work. The whole mind game of what people been under this spell for a while, and now they're using it with another disease. And I think Corbett a couple episodes ago too also highlighted very well, and I think I put that on my last episode, not last one but the one before, where he was talking about this is the beginning of the bio state, you know what I mean? This is like, you know, they have the security, they're getting the QR codes, they're building the infrastructure, but at the same time they are really going after trying to get in people's heads. It's the same thing of what happened with terrorism. You need more money for missiles. We need more money for soldiers, boots on the ground, getting things active, getting people ready for some kind of invasion, because we're scared. We're in fear, danger, danger, danger. We're all going to die type of feeling. And now with the whole response after 2020 and seeing so many people very willingly to give up any kind of freedom just to feel safe, because you can get them in a frenzy by putting a couple crazy news reports together without people actually going to look into it. And then when people do try to, like independent media, try to get things out there, they're going to get smeared and canceled or censored. And that was the way that they do it. But I think if we could get ahead of it, you know, kind of like put it in people's psyches ourselves and tell them like, hey, isn't that weird? They're talking about HIV a lot. Hey, isn't that weird? Like, I think that's our job, is to get out there and kind of put it in their psyche the opposite way, right? Like tell them like, hey, that's strange that they're using that, and bring them up. Hey, don't you remember what happened during the HIV? Don't you remember Fauci was a part of that? Don't you remember Carrie Mullis demanding to bait Fauci, to debate Fauci, and telling him he thinks he's an idiot, basically, you know, calling him out plenty of times, and Fauci never obviously accepted it. But so people could see more and more of that, and hopefully it breaks through more people. I think that if you could put it in their brain, and then when they see it happen, they're more willing to think that they came up with it on their own, so they're not feeling manipulated, and they'll be more receptive to what you have to say. And then even a new report today, it said first woman reported cured of HIV after bone marrow transplant. This one was from Reuters. The case of a 64-year-old woman of mixed race presented at the Conference of Retroviruses and Infections in Denver is also the first involving umbilical cord blood, a new approach that may make the treatment available to more people. It's constantly coming back and back and forth. So they really gotta, we have to, like I said, address it and put it into people's heads that they're trying to make this 2.0. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, to AIDS 2.0. It's definitely something that they're trying to put to the perspective of people to be scared of something that they were scared of. Because remember, it was very, people were so stupid about AIDS. And even though there was information about there, people were scared to go by someone that they thought might have AIDS. They were scared of saliva. They didn't know how it was transmissive. So all kinds of crazy stuff, like we saw even with the COVID-19, with people with triple masking and wearing a shield because they thought that was the proper thing to do, because they were only heard of bits and pieces of what was going on. So they definitely have something in the works with all that, because now here we go to they have an experimental HIV vaccine.
Moderna has just begun a clinical trial for its experimental HIV vaccine. It uses the same mRNA technology found in COVID vaccines. Moderna hopes the vaccine shot will induce a specific class of white blood cells, which can then turn into neutralizing antibodies. The company says the vaccine appeared to work in 97% of participants in last year's concept trial. Participants in phase one of the trial just received their first doses and will be closely watched for the next 6 months.
Yeah, so I saw a couple push for it too, like even on Fox News, they were introducing like an HIV vax, and this is going to be the new thing, a vaccine for every treatment. So I think they are trying to spin what a lot of people were saying in the beginning of when they were skeptical of the vaccines, of like, hey, there's never been a cancer vaccine, there's never been an HIV vaccine. Now they're going to use this mRNA technology to claim that they can reverse all kinds of different illnesses that we may have with a vaccine. And I don't think that's necessarily possible, especially this is gene therapy, new technology, and you're going to see a lot of trial and error. And I think people are so scared, they're going to be willing to let a lot of these things go on, and they'll try it, and they'll definitely put things on out there to get people stuck. Yeah, Moderna CEO did delete his Twitter. A lot of people were talking about the stocks. I don't think that they're still making money, obviously, but I don't think that was, I think they just don't want to be harassed. I'm sure they were getting harassed. And they were also talking about like J&J took I think they stopped making the vaccine, but they also have 1 million in stock. I think people are just like not taking it, and they have way more than they can dish out because they're going to have to get rid of it. And, you know, earlier reports last year, they were dumping a lot of those vaccines, which was also funny because in initially, remember, it had to be so cold, had to be like, I forget the exact temperature. It was negative like 70 or something like that. That they had all these precautions, and that it was, you know, date sensitive, and it was going to go bad. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, just mix them up and mix and match and use this one, use that one. And I think that like some of the articles I was reading, they were talking about how, I don't know if you heard of VAIDS. They were talking about virus induced AIDS. Like basically the vaccine is inducing a lot of people with autoimmune disorders, similar, and that's how we're seeing a lot of these these disorders that are like myocarditis and all that. I believe it's because the spike protein is a foreign thing in your body that is supposed to be, if it's just like the virus and just like that professor in France said at the beginning, that he's seeing it have similar a similar body embodiment of HIV, then I think that would be quite possible that if they copied it off of that, then obviously people would be getting that. I mean, if that makes sense. I know I'm kind of a little off today, but it really is something that I've been looking into. I thought it was interesting that check out Corbett Report if he has more on that. And like I said, The Last Vagabond, if you have not checked out those shows, those are great shows. I watch them all the time. I think that's all I got for you guys today, man. I kind of had a short show, had a busy week at work, you know. Goes like that sometimes, but I wanted to put out a couple of what's going on and what I think is relevant. I know Russia is relevant. I know COVID's always relevant, the Great Reset, the trucker protests, but I think this HIV thing and hearing it more and more in the news is something we got to pay attention to because they're trying to switch it on us, just like with the myocarditis. And you see a lot of them talking about, hey, a lot more heart attacks are happening. Hey, be careful when you're snow blowing, you might have a heart attack. Hey, be careful when you're mowing the lawn, you might have a heart attack. Saying children having heart attack is normal. And I think that's, again, just trying to manipulate the mind and get people to think this is the normal, not the new normal. And I'm just going to go off like this. I appreciate y'all tuning in. I'll be here next Tuesday. Probably have a lot more ready for y'all. And, you know, if you have any clips or anything you want to discuss, just email it to killthemockingbirds@gmail.com. You know, any clips, news articles, things you find interesting, things that you think that need to be talked about that we're not talking about in the community in general. And let's just get it out there. And I'm going to end like this, you know. First, don't forget to check out my music, Sean Chris. I'm all streaming platforms, Apple, Spotify, all that. Got my Dystopian Paradise EP. Mockingbird's Massacre seems to be one that a lot of people like. I'm working on a couple more new songs that I'll be dropping pretty soon. And yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can check Kill the Mockingbirds everywhere. Trying to upload them more and more every week. Hopefully two in a week pretty soon. So look out for all that stuff. And we're going to end like this. It's a Family Guy classic, but with COVIDs, I had to end it like this.
You have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown
it's not HIV, but really full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
But it's AIDS, you've got the AIDS.
Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. We out.